Hey there, everybody. It is August 22nd, 2013, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Send that email on over to Ken at thisshowissogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our little gay radio show that could. Of course, right there on the homepage, you can submit a question to our relationship expert, Dr. Frankie. She's coming back in a few weeks, and she will be answering your questions live on the air. And you can participate in our $10,000 challenge. We're trying to get 1,000 listeners to give $10 each to raise money for the San Francisco to LA AIDS ride right there on the homepage of thisshowissogay.com. You can follow us on Twitter. Just use the handle thisshowissogay. And of course, go to the Facebook, type in thisshowissogay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. It is Female Singer-Songwriter Week on This Show Is So Gay. I have just dubbed it so, because we have a ton of guests in that genre, and we must get started with our first guest. Our first guest, Chrissy. Chrissy is a vocal powerhouse. From garnering 250,000 views in just 2 days for her debut single Dreams, to a top record on iHeartRadio, to an MTV Buzzworthy feature, to a number one spot on MTVU Freshman Pick of the Week, this talented Brooklyn soul singer continues to break new ground with her sophomore single Suspicious. Her debut EP entitled Above All is available, of course, on iTunes. You should go download it, but maybe later after we're done chatting. She is in the middle of an epic tour across the U.S. and Canada alongside our favorites, Hunter Valentine and Girl in a Coma, and some solo dates on her own. But her current tour stop is right here with us. Chrissy, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
What's going on? How you doing?
How the heck are you doing?
I'm amazing, man. I'm doing great. Just enjoying every day, every minute of everything, man. This is a blessing to me.
Love it. Love it. Well, we will start with you as we start with all of our singer-songwriters. Tell our listening audience why the medium of music to express your voice.
It's the best way I know how. I mean, as a child, that's the only thing I knew how to do. I wasn't given much. So all I really had to do was go to the back room in my two-bedroom apartment that my parents had 9 of us living in, and just throw out all my feelings on a piece of paper and then just make a song out of it. So as a child, it's been my outlet. It was what saved my life, and it continuously saves my life every day. The minute that I get frustrated or sad, I just go back to that 8-year-old girl and just write, and it really does heal me.
Nice. Nice. Well, you mentioned so many pieces of your past. We gotta deconstruct some of them. You grew up in a Pentecostal church?
Yes, that's right. I grew up Pentecostal, and then my father was a pastor, and my dad fell ill. And so when we moved back to New York when I was like 2, we needed, you know, my parents wanted us to continue going to church, but my father couldn't pastor anymore, so they allowed us to go to a non-denominational church, but we still had the Pentecostal like upbringing. So mm-hmm. I was like, I had to wear skirts until I was in high school, until I was like, come on, Mom, please, like, stop this. I do not feel comfortable wearing these things anymore, please. And then, you know, they kind of, as time went on, they kind of like, you know, evolved and understood that maybe they're not fit for the Pentecostal lifestyle either. And I thank the heavens for that miracle.
Is there any chance that maybe tomorrow the members of Hunter Valentine are going to get in touch with you and say, you know what, Chrissy, we really want you to wear a skirt again?
That's not going to happen. Listen, I dressed in drag twice in my life, for my brother and my sister's wedding, and that was it.
I love it.
I mean, I have no shame in, like, you know, putting one on, and I find it fun, but it's just not me. It's not my everyday. For me to live my life that way as not even a choice, or something I couldn't deal with, and I had to come to grips with it, and my parents understood it.
Nice. We had Kiyomi on the show years ago, and so we maintain that pipeline to make that request happen. Now, the music that you find in church is different than other music, and you grew up in that whole kind of Aretha Franklin soul singing background.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and it was great. You see, when you're raised in the church, like, and especially me, I was like the soloist in the youth choir and the adult choir, they give you these big records, these big songs that you have to go home and you have to live with it and become one with it. So when you go sing it to a congregation of 3,000, for instance, you have to make those, every 3,000, you know, every congregation just believe in every song. So you can get your amens and your hallelujahs here and there. So that theory of taking a song and making it your own and being able to perform it so that way the perfect stranger or even the pastor that sees you every day can believe it and fall in love with the song again and fall in love with the feeling, the passion. It's something, it's a theory that I take with me now, even when I sing my own songs, because my own songs are written about things that happened to me in my life, from getting cheated on to even the death of a parent.
Yeah.
And I take all those emotions and all those feelings and I put them in a pocket. So when it's time to perform, although you may have seen the performance already, it's just brand new to you because it's raw emotion, raw feelings. And I never, ever, ever want to lose that.
Yeah. Now, which one of your songs is about the fact that you got kicked out of choir at age 15?
Oh, that's Broken Glass. That's one of the first songs I wrote. It just talks about no matter how bad your life may get, no matter, even there's a line that says you can't believe this happened to you. You still have to be yourself at the end of the day. You still got to pick up the pieces. And many people can't be that strong to pick them up, you know. And I'm just grateful that I have a very strong family. Being raised in Brooklyn also makes you want to keep going forward. You really can't be weak there in my area of Brooklyn. And we just got to pick up the pieces and keep chucking, keep moving along.
The baby girl out of a family of six.
Yeah, my mom calls me her boy girl, so.
Nice. Would they say, as the youngest of four, I got nothing on you being the youngest of four. Yeah. You're the youngest of six. What would they say about your role, your brothers and sisters, as number six?
I'm actually number five. I have a little brother.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I have a baby brother, but he's so much, like, bigger than me and acts older than me, so I consider myself the youngest. But because my little brother just overpowers me. But they love me. I'm always going to be their little sister. I'm always going to be the funny one. I'm always going to be just, you know, the tenacious one in anything. When it comes to doing dishes, I will not stop until somebody else does them.
There you go.
You know, I will just, I always play, but I'm the baby girl card, and they hate it. But, you know, they support, they love me. They definitely, you know, love to pick on me, but that's all part of a big family.
I realize that I'm clearly not playing the baby girl card enough, so I got to work on that. That's something to work on. It's all good.
I'll try.
Talk to people about your style of music. You know, we just talked a little bit about the background of soul in there. How do you distinguish your voice from all the other singer-songwriters out there?
I guess I call it gutter. Gutter in Brooklyn is like the raw of the raw. It's just, there's no hair on my tongue ever in life.
Yeah.
I'll just call it like it is, but with respect, you know. And I always want to go for that endless sound that, yeah, like the Beatles. You see, the Beatles had songs that were like 2 minutes, 3 minutes top, you know, as long as they are. And they made just hits. They talked about a 16-year-old chick, a 16-year-old girl. You know, they just had amazing stories in 2.5 minutes that make you 20, 40, 60 years later, they're still popping.
Right.
You know, and I kind of want to go for endless sound. I want to go to a feel-good, genre-less type of music. You know, I don't want to be categorized or pigeonholed into one type of genre. I want to create my own lane and have people follow it. And it takes a lot of dismissing opinions and takes a lot of, hey, I heard this record, you know, and I'll bring it up to my manager. And I'll look at people, do you think it sounds like you? I'm like, no, you're right. Let's go in again. You know, it takes a lot of studying to make sure that I keep that lane. I want endless feel-good music. That's my goal.
Now, my goals, when I go out and do karaoke, my lofty goals are to every now and then, maybe if I can get a phone number out of it, because, you know, I did some just ridiculous version of Lean On Me or Suddenly Seymour. Your goals when doing karaoke are apparently different than mine, because you got discovered doing it.
Yeah, it was a very time in my life. I actually was dumped by my partner.
Okay.
I walked into my house and my apartment in Brooklyn, and I was left with just couches, and that was very devastating to me. So what did I do? I picked up the pieces and I went to my local karaoke bar, which was in Brooklyn, and I just sang like the way I do Melissa Etheridge. It was a spot that I went to all the time. People knew me there, and the bartenders knew me, and some of the people that their regulars were there. And when I was singing like the way I do, like the whole crowd was going crazy, and I was feeling hurt, so I was crying. And any time you sing a Melissa Etheridge song about a girl, you have to put emotion in it.
Oh yeah.
So, and especially I was wearing like my little vest, you know, I have a hat backwards. I was like the polar opposite of what people were expecting me to sing, especially people that were brand new there. And everybody was just chanting my name. And at that same moment, at the lowest point of my life then, I was found. And, you know, I always, I mean, I was raised in the church. I always sang. I got kicked out of the church and I continued singing in karaoke bars. And then even after that, like, I just never let that go because I know that that was a passion of mine. And all that, and I know it sounds cheesy, but all that preparation ever since a young age led me to one specific opportunity where I gave it all I had because I had nothing else to give. And I was found.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. And I have hosted karaoke nights before, and the one thing that I have said consistently, you do not mess with a woman who gets up and does an Etheridge song.
Right.
You don't.
No, you have to relate to her song, because guys are in deep, and it's just like, I don't know, any other person who thinks about, even like, her cancer story is absolutely amazing. And she's just so gully that she sang it even while going through a chemo and all. She's so dope.
But it's not just singing an Etheridge song. For folks who don't know, we'll play it later on in the show after we play your music. You don't mess with a woman singing like the way I do. You say, I'm sorry, and you slowly back away. Am I wrong?
No, that nobody wanted to come near me. That's so true. Even my manager, he kind of like tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around with like tears in my eyes, and he's like, "So you like to sing?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." You know, like so angry at him. And I was like, "What is it? Do you want a drink?" And he's like, "Calm down." And I was like, "No, what is your name?" I was just a mess. He's like, "If it wasn't for you calming down and you smiling at me either through the tears, I wouldn't be working with you today."
Yeah. No, you get up, you do, you know, you can sleep while I drive. I'll maybe propose to you. You sing like the way I do. I will back away slowly and buy you whatever you want. It's fine.
That's the reason why he signed me.
Yeah. Oh my God. Look, hey, a fear-based signing with a company, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever gets your voice out there. Now, I said you are in the middle of a tour. You are all over the place. How did you connect with Hunter Valentine?
I've been on the road. I've been doing a lot of spot dates, so I've been away from New York.
Yeah.
And I have my road manager by the name of Jermaine who comes along with me, and my other manager, Dennis, who found me, stays in New York and continues. Coming when I come home, it's like, okay, they got this show and this show and this show. So it was like from one day to the next, I came home from a Minneapolis trip, I believe, and I was eating, you know, breakfast or lunch with my friends, and my manager calls me. I was like, yo, what up, B? And he's like, yo, we're getting ready for your first tour. And I was like, oh, you know, what, you know, me thinking tours, it was like maybe three cities and then go home. And he's like, yeah, you're going away for a month and a week. And I was like, what? Where? With who? And then he's like, you know, Hunter Valentine's going to coma. I was like, girl, a coma? He just opened up with Smashing Pumpkins. And he's like, Hunter Valentine. I was like, Hunter Valentine, I used to watch them on Showtime. You know? It was just like, he's like, oh, yeah, word? Like, he wasn't too familiar with it.
Right.
You know, but he kind of knew of them. And he's like, yeah, I think it's a dope thing, and where we're going to go. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, I just could not stop it. And then I was talking to my friends, and obviously a lot of my friends are lesbians, so they were like, oh, my God, you're going out with that girl. She's so hot. You know, but it was just amazing. So now it's like it's a dream come true, honestly. It's like going on tour, and then I'm going on tour with two epic artists, two epic women bands, you know. And especially for the gay community, that's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
I mean, so with people that have already set the lane for somebody like myself to kind of walk on in and look at them and say, thank you for this opportunity for me to become one of your musical families. You know what I mean? And It's humbling. It's humbling. Like I don't even like to post, like to take anything away from them because I'm so honored to even like eat their scrap, eat the whatever's left over. It's just amazing to me.
You're not eating the scrap. You're setting the tone. You are opening. What does it mean? I'm just saying, no pressure. What does it mean? What does it mean for you to be? Cause this is so kind of like Lilith, you know, I love that it's just this all female lineup and queer friendly beyond belief. Does that change how you approach going out on stage?
No, I don't think it does. I think that what they fell in love with is the fact that what I bring to the table is me entirely. You know, it's just the purest form of my heart. And I don't mean to sound so cheesy, but I don't. You know what I mean? I'm not. It's just, I come to the table with, I come to the stage with just like a blank page. I don't know where I'm going, what mood it's going to be in, but I know that I'm going to set the mood by playing my life for you. And I know that people relate, you know what I mean? And I bring those, like I said, I bring those series of church and I bring it in, and to have somebody cry, laugh, agree, and clap all within 30 minutes and come into a life, and then at the end say, you know, that song, Dream, is in my anthem. And above all, I'll dedicate that to my uncle or my aunt or my cousin who passed away, or, you know, maybe I had a love that I messed up on. Makes me have an automatic connection with them. So I don't think I'll ever stop doing what it is that I'm doing, because I feel like it works and I create this unity with them. You know, my buddies, I call them.
Yeah.
Because it's just, when you have somebody that can really, to be things like that, to things that actually happened to me, and I could, and they could just start talking about their stories in their own way, that's pretty awesome. You know what I mean? I think that's amazing to me.
I went online and was doing some hunting around. You have some rabid gay fans. My assumption is they have reached out to you.
Of course, of course. I mean, I did Hot 97 a while ago, and I did it the week of Gay Pride, the weekend of Gay Pride,
yeah,
in New York. And I believe that set the tone, because Hot 97 is a very big radio station here in New York.
Oh, yeah.
And I did the Lisa Evers show. Shout out to Lisa Evers. And I believe after that, once, like, nationally, it was said, you know, openly gay artist Chrissy, and they heard my stance on it. They heard how I believed in myself. And I think that if I come off and I give myself as an equal, everybody who even agrees or disagrees with the gay lifestyle will respect me as an equal. And when I came home, I had messages upon messages upon messages saying, you know, like, the way you categorize yourself is exactly what I was trying to figure out how to tell people. Thank you so much. Shout out to New York. We love you. And then from then on, it was like I started singing at, like, all these little gay clubs in the West Village in New York. The Rock Bar, I sang at the Pier Bar. Like, I sang at a bunch of things that it's pretty amazing to get all that love from your own family. It was just awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful. And even on the other side, like, I allow people to understand the lifestyle as well, you know, and get it and approach me as not just being just gay, just being a person who happens to be that, you know? And it's been amazing. Like, I hope to be, like, a spokesperson for it, you know, and if, in more ways than what I'm doing now. That makes sense.
Now, I never asked anyone this before, because I stay away from this question, but is there any pressure that comes along with that? You know, we love talking to out artists, but then I would imagine that there's got to be and tell me I'm wrong, some sort of flip side where you have these folks looking to you as an out artist, and perhaps there's some pressure that comes along with that.
That's a good question. I mean, I haven't, and humbly I'm speaking, like, I haven't been in the game when we're talking about, like, music industry for such a long time. Like,
yeah.
I haven't been exposed to it that much. But the pressure that's on me is something that I could take. If I need to be the spokesperson or mm-hmm. people expect a lot from me, then I think, I don't know. I mean, I see what you're saying. You know
yeah.
what I mean? I feel like being from New York and being gay, that's two big things. You know what
right.
I mean? There's a lot to speak of. You know, you have Lady Gaga. Come on, you know, she came out of here. And although she's not gay, she speaks on behalf of, you know, our people.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know what I mean? I wouldn't know until it comes to me. You know, I just feel like a lot of things are here, and I think that I tackle them the best way I know how, and I feel like it's winning, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if I just rambled or anything like that, but I'm just trying to get my, that's a big question, and I wouldn't know if I'm under that much pressure yet.
Let me be clear, I could not be less worried about your ability to handle it.
Okay, thank you.
I am not at all worried. Which place are you so excited to visit on your tour?
I'm excited to come back home on October 8th. When I play in Brooklyn, it's always awesome to come back home and play in the city. But I'm really, 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 really super stoked and excited to head back to California.
Yeah.
The Ecoplex, I have a couple friends from New York traveling out there just to see me play in Los Angeles. That's where I was born. I was born in Alhambra, you know, and I was there since I was two. I never returned back. And I'm excited to, like, touch my feet against California soil.
Awesome.
That's where I was born, so I'm excited about that.
Love it.
But there's, I mean, I've never been able to use my passport, so I'm excited, even if it's just to go to Canada, just to go up there. I mean, it's just so many places.
We'll validate our Canadian friends. It's a whole different country.
Yeah.
We love it. Well, yeah. We were going to make you do what we do every week, or have supposed to be doing every week, but sometimes we forget, and make you do a little self-analysis based on your musical selections. But we already covered Melissa Etheridge, so I'll only make you do one of your own songs, because we are going to play your song Dream, which I enjoy immensely. You gave us a little backstory on it, but tell everyone what Dream, do a little self-analysis if you need to do it in the third person, that's fine. What does Dream say about Chrissy?
Dream is all about the hustle. She wanted to fulfill everything that she desired as a child. And so no matter if there's a train station or a cab or a plane or a building or anything that gets in the way, she will maneuver it in order for her to fulfill her dream. Like, she will push past everything and make her time to shine so she could dream. And that's exactly like what I mean, I don't even have to speak in third person. That's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't care where I needed to go in order to practice, what I needed to do in order to win. That's what I was going to do. And it's been a dream of mine since I was a child, and I wrote about it, and I want to live it. You know, I want my name on the front of the marquee, and I'm assuring everybody that they're going to see it and hear it.
Nice. Oh, man, that's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. Where can folks go to learn all about the cool things that you are doing?
You could go to ChrissyChrissy.com, that's Chrissy with a K, or visit me on my Instagram or on my Twitter at ChrissyChrissy1. Check me out on my Facebook at ChrissyChrissyK. And, or if you want, you could download my app at your iTunes or your App Store, and that's the Chrissy Chrissy app.
There's a Chrissy Chrissy app?
Yeah, you could track me. You could Snapchat with me. You could Uvo me along the tour. So we're doing a bunch of stuff that my buddies can keep in contact with me even while I'm on the tour bus or, you know, in the bathroom, whatever the case is. I can be connected with them. So that's what it's all about. I mean, if we lose focus on the things that actually will make us win, we'll lose it all. And I love keeping in contact with my buddies. It's awesome.
We're just trying to use Twitter. You used all these other words that I don't even know what they are. So more power to you that people can connect.
Thanks.
Well, folks have got to get out there and go download your music and go follow you and all your amazing travels. I have to tell you, your music is amazing and your voice is just, your voice is incredible. But what I love about your music and just talking to you is that you are so clearly appreciative of this opportunity that you have, and the way that you put yourself out there is so authentic in that you're like, look, I'm singing, this is what I do, and you just seem so grateful and appreciative that we get a chance to listen to you, and that just hooks us in even more. It's just such a great thing to listen to.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. It's just, I mean, nothing is ever deserved and tomorrow's not promised. And I'm a firm believer of that. I never thought that at 23 I'd lose my father, and I never thought that at a karaoke bar I'd be found. So
right.
Little opportunities, you can't take them with a grain of salt. You have to embrace each and every opportunity. I used to sing for a karaoke bar to like 90-year-old people who are half deaf, and I gave it all I had, you know, just because it was my passion. So why should I give any less now that I'm doing it as a full-time thing, you know?
Yeah.
I should give it more. And I'm just excited. Like, I can't wait to find out, like, you know, when you're on tour and then, well, I don't know if you know, but say when you're on tour and you're in different cities and you're not home, and then when you get home or you get a phone call like this happened, you're just like so excited to find out what you could do to prepare for the next thing. I'm just like, you don't even know. I have my little tour book. I have stickers.
Oh,
I have a mailing
man.
List. You don't even know. Like, I'm driving my mom crazy. I keep taking her to Staples. I was like, I need colorful post-its. I need to put name tags on everything. Mileage control. Like, she's like, you're driving me nuts.
She's so happy for you. We're so happy for you. I'm going to hereby promise that coming soon to a karaoke bar somewhere, Chrissy and I are going to do a rendition of You Can Sleep While I Drive, and one of us will be in a skirt. I'm not saying who, but we're going to work it out.
I'll put a skirt on. How about that?
That's awesome.
Those are hideous.
I wasn't volunteering you. I was just saying one of us. It was more about the Etheridge because, you know, I want to get discovered too. Chrissy,
gotcha.
What an absolute treat having you on the show. All the best with this tour.
Thank
Say
you.
Hi to Kiyomi for us.
I will. We're going to see a lot of each other.
Awesome. Folks, get out there. Go download Chrissy's music right now. Chrissy, all the best.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, man. I'm going to take this world by the hands. I'll sleep in a five-star suite or I'll sleep in my van. No debit or credit cards. I'll take my tips in a can.
Back. Well, we are continuing our episode dedicated to female singer-songwriters, which we do all the time, but we got a whole episode of it this time around. If you want poetry and you want harmony and you want melodies that you will not soon forget, then you must go experience the music of Starnes and Shaw, just an incredible folk rock duo. Their songs range from pared-down acoustic ballads to rock anthems complete with choral arrangements and layered guitar effects. They are set to release their fourth full-length album, Shilling for Dreamtown, coming up this fall. But first, they're stopping by our show. Zilpha and Danya, better known as Starnes and Shaw, welcome to This Show Is So Gay.
Hi.
It's the giggle already. Let me just ruin the ending for our listeners. I know you guys.
Yeah.
Yes, you do.
So when Amanda, let's give a shout out to Amanda, one of your PR folks got in touch with me and said, oh, will you have Starnes and Shaw on your show? I said, yeah, I know them. How long have we all known each other?
I want to say since like 2003 or two, Ken. When did you get to Sarah Lawrence?
Because we all knew each other from Sarah Lawrence. I got to Sarah Lawrence in 2003 and you guys were both there at that time.
Yep. We were both RAs, I think,
at different times.
So funny. All right, well, we have a ton to talk about. We perhaps have a game to play, which we'll get to that. But first, we start with you, as we just did with Chrissy, who was on earlier in the show. We start with you as we start with all of our singer-songwriters. And Zilpha, we'll go with you first because, you know, it's reverse alphabetical. Hey, Zilpha, tell us why the medium of music to express your voice.
I really enjoy singing, and I think it's, I view it almost reversely. It's fun to use music to express theater, which I always did theater growing up, and I like storytelling, and it's fun to use my voice to contribute to a story or to tell a story.
And Danya, music for you?
Music for me has sort of been the only thing. I think I never really, you know, I was never much for visual arts or theater or anything like that, but music was just a great way to express myself. I love to write. I'm a writer, and I write a lot of poetry. And then at some early age, I discovered that I could sing, and then that was it. The rest is history.
Nice.
Just for me, it's been the only way that I know to express myself. Totally, honestly, and it's the best thing ever.
Now, you both bring very different things to Starnes and Shaw. We'll have you critique each other or compliment each other. Zilpha, what does Danya bring to the mix?
She writes all the songs, and she's the visionary, really. She brings the driving force. She gets us out of bed. She gets us to the show. She gets the show booked. She gets it done as well. And I think I just make her laugh. I make her work, but she does seem more fun.
Well, wait, we gotta ask her, because, you know, Danya, she just basically listed that you do everything. What does Zilpha bring to the mix?
I think what Zilpha is definitely underestimating what she brings to the mix. Zilpha, First of all, a little known fact about Sons and Shy is I do write all the songs, but I cannot read or write music.
Wow.
So it's kind of an interesting, it's sort of an interesting thing. So Zilpha has a great deal of experience with music. She's was a trained singer and, in theater and choirs when she was growing up in Texas. So she's got a knack for arranging music and a knack for putting it down on paper. So she brings a lot of that experience. And when you're dealing with arranging music, I mean, that's where you can really pump up the intrigue. You can really get, like Sylpha says, she likes to bring the theater to the music. And as a writer of poetry, narrative and stories are a big part of what I do with music. And having both her theater experience and her experience in arranging specifically really helps bring those stories to light. You know, you can really pump, highlight the nuances. And I think without Zilpha, they would definitely be lacking. I think, I used to do music on my own before meeting Zilpha and starting to sing with her, and it just changed totally when we started working together, because she brings a host of skills that I don't have. And yes, she does make me laugh. That's another thing.
See, Zilpha, you do stuff too.
Yeah.
So we spend time at Sarah Lawrence together. We can do a little shout out to Go Griffins of Sarah Lawrence. We're always about extolling a liberal arts education. Zilpha, what did Sarah Lawrence do for you to set up this career that you're having?
I think it just made me want to learn any skill I needed to use, which in this case it was, since we are a DIY, do-it-yourself band from, soup to nuts. You know, it sort of gave me the initiative to, get online and, learn how to write HTML and learn CSS to make our own website and stuff like that. And also it put us in touch with a network of people who are artists and, willing and wanting to contribute. We had the opportunity to make a music video with another Sarah Lawrence alum and had yet another Sarah Lawrence alum act in it. Which was really cool. So it gives you this mindset or this philosophy that if you want to do something, you don't have to wait for the world to give you permission or validate it. You just go out and do it, and it's there. And I think that's the biggest thing that I got from Sarah Lawrence.
Nice. Danya, what is your first Zilpha Sarah Lawrence memory?
Well, she doesn't really remember.
I'm not at a bar, so
several times. I was introduced to Donna maybe three times, and every time she had no idea who I was. She was very busy and very popular.
But two memories do stand out that are clear in my memory that don't involve the bar is I was playing, doing sort of the coffee house shows while we were in college, and a friend of mine who was in the theater department mentioned, this girl who does theater but wasn't taking theater at the time, and who had played bass in her church band and also sings. And that she said, that girl's name is Zilpha. And I remember thinking, wow, that name is so unique, and I never sort of thought about it. And then we ran into each other in an elevator, and I distinctly remember that. So.
Nice. So you guys are set to release your fourth album. How weird is it hearing fourth?
It's crazy. I mean, it's been a really, really fun journey, and we're really excited about number four because I think we've really gotten comfortable in doing this whole album thing. So by four, it's like, when they say like, oh, when you have kids, by like four, you let them juggle knives. So we're definitely feeling comfortable enough to juggle knives and have fun with it. So,
Zilpha, what does shilling for Dreamtown add to the Starnes and Shaw repertoire that's not already there?
I think the story is about Starnes and Shaw. I think that's the biggest difference, is that a lot of the albums before are, in Danya's the writer, they're a lot about, people and places, and oftentimes one song is maybe about many people or many places and observations. But Shilling for Dreamtown is different because it's a lot of about sort of a story and an event that we have in common, and that is what it's been like to be committing ourselves to music and being a band in New York City, and the the winning and losing and the joy and the pain and the everything that goes along with it. So it's that's the big difference. It's
nice.
Also been, as Danya mentioned, a little bit more intense and in-depth experience in the studio. It was broken up and recorded over a much longer period of time. I guess over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
It was really different. I mean, thinking back to the very first thing we ever recorded together, which was a six-song EP, we did that in a couple hours. The next album we maybe did in 3 days. The next we maybe did in 2 months. So we've invested a lot more time, and it's, we've had the opportunity to sort of digest while making it and then reapproach and digest. And it's just been, the album as a whole is a lot more about being and making, being a musician and making music and what the experience is like for us specifically.
We really wanted to make an album that was honestly portraying, you know, our experience as artists and what that feels like. Obviously, you know, within the record there are stories that it's not totally self-involved and self-centered, but for the first time I think we felt like we had a story that was totally ours that we wanted to tell. And, you know, a big part of that too, by ours, I mean, I think other people can really identify it, living in New York. But it's really, Filling for Dreamtown is really the story about what it is to care a lot about something and to have to work to see that, to see it grow and survive. So, like Silpa said, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of struggle in it. Those things, there's kind of a constant interplay between the two.
And Danya, will we be touring to support this new album?
I'm hoping to play some shows. Definitely, our big right now, we're gearing up for the CD release. I guess not even CD. That's totally dating us. The album release party and show on November 9th in New York at one of our favorite venues, Arlene's Grocery. And then we'll probably do another show in December, and then 2014 we'll hope to have a whole host of regular shows and do our usual trips to cities all over where we play. And we've been, we were up in your old neck of the woods, Vermont, quite a bit. We like playing up there, Boston, Philadelphia, obviously all around New York, New Hampshire. We've been down to Texas. We've even played in Beirut, so we'll
wow.
Be anywhere. So, yes.
Nice. We could hit Cleveland before we hit Beirut, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Well, it's been actually, I looked it up. It's been like 50, 60 episodes since I've had a couple on the air. And so I thought I would bring back our old listener favorite, because I'm not sure if I mentioned, though, it was, of course, implied. You are indeed a couple. One could even argue you recently got married.
We did, yes.
So exciting, and congratulations. So I didn't get you guys anything because I didn't know. So I thought I could let you guys play this game. And if you win, I mean, I know this isn't really how wedding presents work, but if you win the game, I will send you guys presents. I will send you This Show with So Gay magnets that you can give out to fans or friends or just keep for yourself.
I like magnets.
Love it.
All right. So we're going to ask, hey, Zilpha, we're going to kick you out of the room. You can go play with the dog. We'll call you back later.
But I just need to know, are Don and I playing against each other?
You are playing with each other. You're playing with each other. Danya's going to answer all the questions, and you're going to come back, and hopefully your answers will match her answers.
Oh.
That was even in harmony. That was beautiful.
Okay, get out of here. Okay, I'll go refill my wine glass.
Okay. That might be one of the questions. Bye, Zilpha. All right, Danya, you ready?
I'm ready.
Don't be nervous.
All right.
Okay. So we have six questions for you. We're going to fly through them, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to say that if you guys get three of them right, you win a magnet, and then everyone you get right beyond that, you'll win another magnet. So a chance for, like, four magnets by my math. You ready?
Great. Let's go.
All right. Danya, if Zilpha changed jobs, what would be her other dream job, other than singing with you?
She would want to be a controller or an accountant of some sort.
Okay. Look at that. Look at what we're learning. All right, I'm noting this down. Okay. What was the breed and name of Zilpha's childhood pet, Danya?
Okay, so Zilpa didn't have one childhood pet. They cycled through many, many cats.
Okay.
So I know they had a Maine Coon cat, and it had many names, one was named Paco, the other was named Pico, and the other was named Pico. They had many cats. Her mother was a cat adopter and sort of savior of all things cats.
Okay.
So it wasn't just one. There's a whole cat.
Many. All right, well, you got a good chance on that one then. Who would question number three? And by the way, these are questions from the actual Newlywed Game because I was too lazy to make up my own. Danya, question number three: who would Zilpha say drives the worst?
Drives the worst?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, I guess she would say that she drives the worst only because I do all the driving now.
Okay.
She's actually she has more years driving under her belt, having grown up in Texas, and I mostly started driving in the city. But I think she might say that she drives the worst.
Okay, there we go. This is our only racy one. I can't believe I'm throwing in a racy question, but it's not that racy.
We went to Sarah Lawrence. We can handle
it. I know. This is like nothing for you with that coming out dance. All right. We're going to ask Zilpha, how old will Zilpha say that you, Danya, were when you had your first kiss? And we'll give her plus or minus 3 years.
How old will she say that I was?
Yep.
I think she's going to say 13.
Okay. All right, two more to go. This is a weird one, and again, pulled directly from the Newlywed Game. If you, Danya, came back in your next life as a canine, I mean, really, these are the questions they had, and it's a multiple choice. What breed would Zilpha say that you would be? Okay, so if you, Danya, came back in your next life as a canine, what breed would Zilpha say that you would be? Here are your choices. Chihuahua, Russell Terrier, Poodle, or Bulldog?
Russell Terrier.
Okay. I don't even know if that's a metaphor. I'm just moving on to the next one. And the last one, what will Zilpha say is the last book that you, Danya, read?
She'll laugh and say that Danya only reads poetry, so she doesn't really read novels, so it's mostly a collection of poems, so she won't read.
We'll go with the genre. All right, very good. Now your role is to bring Zilpha back from the isolation booth. Okay, and of course, because I trust you two completely, audience, listeners, there's no cheating. They're not cheating. They're working together to win magnets. All right, Zilpha, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. I'm so nervous for you two. Okay, Zilpha, if you, Zilpha, were to change jobs, what did Danya say your dream job would be?
We just talked about it. You'd be the controller of the city of Yonkers.
Look at that. That is the correct answer. Accountant. Very good. All right. We got one down. Very good, Zilpha. Question number two, Zilpha. What did Danya say is the breed and name of your Zilpha's childhood pet?
Oh, we had cats and they were gray tabby.
And give me a name.
We had a Maine Coon cat named Josanne. And we had a
great
tabby named Paco.
Oh, there's Paco. That's question number two. Correct. Correct. All right, Zilpha, question number three. Zilpha, who would you say drives the worst of you and Danya?
Danya drives the worst.
Did you say Danya?
Yeah.
That was incorrect. Danya said that you would say you drove the worst.
Oh, because you don't do any of the driving.
I know, but were I to drive, I'd
drive. Okay, this game has never broken anyone up before, so let's just move on to the next one, okay? All right, Zilpha. Zilpha, within 3 years, how old would you say Danya was when she had her first kiss?
Within 3 years, how old will Danya be when she has her first kiss?
My assumption is it happened. So the question was, how old was she when she had her first kiss?
Oh, probably maybe 14 or
14. She said 13. That is the correct answer. You've already won a magnet now. You have two more chances to win two more. This is so exciting. Okay. The weirdest question of all the questions, and this, again, directly from the Newlywed Game, Zilpha. If Danya came back in her next life as a canine, it's a multiple choice. What breed would you say that she would be? Here are your four choices. Chihuahua, Russell Terrier, Poodle, or Bulldog?
Oh, totally a Russell Terrier.
I don't understand why you got that right and why you're both so certain, but I'm going to move on to the next one. That is the correct answer. Very good. All right, last one. You've already won two magnets. This is your chance for the third. What was the last book, Zilpha, that Danya read?
I think something that she read for work, maybe.
You know what? The correct answer was poetry, but if listeners will scroll back a little bit, they will hear that Danya answered, the first thing she will do is laugh really hard, and so you had the correct answer. So she laughed really hard. All right, you guys win three magnets. That is my wedding present to you. And of course, I feel so gifted that we got to talk. Very, very good. So Danya, where can everyone go to learn all about the amazing things that Starnes and Shaw are doing?
All the information is available on our website. It's a bit of a mouthful, but it's www.starnesandshaw.com. Do you want us to spell that out, Ken? Or?
I am going to link it for everybody.
Okay, so that's where people can find out what's going on. And we're putting out a new single soon called Gatling Girl from the new record. And the record will be out on November 9th. So if people are in or near New York, I hope they will come to our big, big party on November 9th and keep up with us for tour dates afterwards.
Wow. Well, look. Let me be very clear. I had absolutely zero to do with your success, but I have to tell you both, I am just so incredibly, incredibly proud of you both. I've been listening to your music for the past week. I've been listening to it before that. And I just think what you guys put out there and the harmonies and the melodies and just the sheer poetry of what it is that you two do. I feel so fortunate that I was able to interact with you guys so many years ago. And just to see what you're doing, I'm just so proud of you both.
Well, thank you.
It means a lot. It does mean a great deal to us. And Sarah Lawrence was a very special place for us. So we're happy to keep the friendships we've had there. And it's so good to talk to you.
Thank you. All right, folks, go check out Starnes and Shaw. Zilpha, Danya, your magnets are on their way. Thank you so much. Back. Well, yeah, we could pull back the curtain a little bit, let you know what happens inside the This Show Is So Gay world before we get our behind the music, if they ever make such a thing. Yes, we know that Zilpha and Danya of Starnes and Shaw, that interview, not the best sound quality. And those are the decisions sometimes we have to make. It's such an interesting conundrum that we find ourselves in sometimes. And we actually asked Netta Ulaby from NPR when she was on the air. And we asked Ari Shapiro, too, from NPR when he was on a few months back. So what do you do if sometimes in an interview the sound quality is not good? Do you run it? Do you not run it? And they said, well, it depends on the content and if you think people can see through that. And it's kind of a hit or miss. Some folks do see through the poor sound quality and other folks are like, oh my God, I'm never listening again. So hopefully you are more towards, hey, that was some great content and not the, hey, I'm never listening again because that would make me so sad. So yes, a big shout out to Danya and Zilpha and apologies that we were not able to make that better. It just kind of happens sometimes. So yeah, it's episode 227. It's bound to happen every now and then. Some gay news to throw out at you. We obviously don't have a ton of time left on this week's episode, but some really big stories. My home state of New Jersey, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Is he going to be the Republican presidential nominee in 2016? I don't know. That's not what the story is. The big deal is that he signed legislation just this past Monday banning licensed therapists from attempting to convert gay youths into heterosexuals. The law was sponsored by the Democratic Assemblyman Tim Eustis and passed the legislature with bipartisan support in July. New Jersey is the second state, along with California, which we covered a few months back, to outlaw conversion therapy for minors. Now, lest you forget, Christie is a Republican, and holy cow, is he getting blasted by some of his Republican colleagues for taking a stand in this way. He said in a statement that he believes the health risks of trying to change a child's sexual orientation outweigh concerns over government limiting parental choice. He said, quote, "The American Psychological Association has found that efforts to change sexual orientations can pose critical health risks. I believe that exposing children to these health risks is not appropriate," end quote. Republican governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, signing legislation banning licensed therapists from attempting gay conversion therapy. Love it. It just kind of, I was thinking about when I was reading the story and I saw it on the news and then I put it on the docket to cover for this week's show, just started me thinking about Republicans and Democrats, and we cover so many political stories, and I'm a little nervous to put this out on the air because once I put it on the air, it's just there for all of time. But I wish in some ways there were more people like Chris Christie, not necessarily with the way he completely has defunded New Jersey education. He's like the Antichrist of New Jersey teachers, which as an educator, yeah, not so good, Chris Christie, with defunding education. But he at least goes issue by issue in some arenas, it seems, where he's looking for the greater good. And again, not someone who will ever get my vote for, I guess I should never say never, but he probably will never get my vote for president should he run. But at the same time, I appreciate that even as he's getting blasted by his fellow Republicans, he is saying, you know what, I'm looking at the risks here. And it goes against my ideals of government getting involved. He doesn't like when governments get involved. That's a tenet of the Republican Party. But he is saying that there are some things that are riskier. And in this case, it's licensed therapists. And then you have all the unlicensed ones. But even just licensed therapists trying this gay conversion therapies, these gay conversion therapies, which are just harmful. They're just harmful to you. So I appreciate that, and had me thinking about what is a Republican, what is a Democrat, and can't we just go choice by choice? What's for the greater good? Here, so that was my home state of New Jersey. In my current state of Ohio, so just up the road, everybody's been telling me to go, and I like roller coasters and amusement parks, so everybody's, you gotta go to Cedar Point. And when I was trolling the news for this week's Gay Stories, I didn't even realize that there's a whole Cedar Point story right around the corner, one of the best amusement parks apparently in the world. Not so good for the gays, though. When one gay couple organized a protest against Cedar Point here in Ohio, in Sandusky, Ohio, for excluding same-sex couples from a wedding contest, Cedar Point decided to just cancel the whole promotion rather than allow them to participate. Cedar Point had planned an event that would select 13 couples to have a wedding ceremony in the park on Friday, September 13th, as part of their Halloween-themed Hallow Weekends. Kind of early on September 13th for Halloween. Although I was reading on Facebook, totally unrelated, not gay, that even a few weeks ago, at the beginning of August, Halloween candy was out, which is scary. Anyway, Scott Kennemond and Eric Morrison, a gay couple from Akron, were both big fans of the amusement park, and they had been considering holding a commitment ceremony at Cedar Point, so they were thrilled when they came across this advertisement. However, their delight soon turned to disappointment when they saw the ad contained the following disclaimer, quote, "Due to marriage laws in Ohio, weddings are limited to male-female couples only." Due to marriage laws in Ohio, weddings are limited to male-female couples only. Determined to make their roller coaster romance a reality, the two urged friends and supporters to contact the amusement park via Twitter and other social networking sites to request that same-sex couples be included in their promotion. One of them said, quote, "It doesn't matter if it's legal or not. You should be able to have a commitment ceremony." This is the best. Ready? Quote of the week. Quote of the week. "For God's sake, you're getting married by a zombie." That's just funny. That's funny. Nevertheless, when the couple's protest began to gain attention, the amusement park quickly canceled the contest, saying, quote, "Cedar Point does not take any official stance on political issues." The couple called Cedar Point's decision to cancel the promotion cowardly, adding, quote, "We're disappointed they would choose to go that way rather than stand behind the LGBT community." So that is what's going on right here in Ohio. There's actually a ton more stories that I want to cover, and I just don't really have the time for it this week. But very quickly, Scalia, Justice Scalia, it's amazing. I've already given away the quote of the week, so I can't give it to Justice Scalia, and he often claims the quote of the week. He basically said it was not the Supreme Court's place to, quote, invent new minorities. That's, again, he's still trying to figure out how to spin that the Supreme Court decisions that were for gay marriage and against Prop 8 did not go the way that Scalia wanted them to go. And again, gosh golly, already gave away the quote of the week to, you know, being married by zombies, but if there was a runner-up, it would be Mexican Congresswoman Ana Maria Jimenez Ortiz. She was at a recent conference. She was asked if gay marriage should be legalized in the state of Puebla. She said, quote, "Marriage should only be considered in those relationships..." I'm sorry. This is funny. Quote, "Marriage should only be considered in those relationships in which the members have sex while facing each other. A marriage should only be considered amongst people that can look at each other in the eye while having sexual intercourse, something that doesn't happen in homosexual couples." I have so many comments on this. I will not educate her on different ways of having sex. But I did like one news outlet where I found the story had the quote, "Can blind straight people get married, Anna? What about heteros?" I can't even keep reading. Anyway, it's funny. That probably shouldn't be the barometer for giving marriage equality is whether or not people face each other during sex. But Scalia thinks we're creating new minorities all the time. And I'm kind of bummed because I can't get married by a zombie here in Ohio. But at least in New Jersey, they're doing good things. And that's our whole news recap. That's it. That's it. That's all we have time for this week's episode. Our thanks, of course, to Chrissy. Our thanks to Danya and Zilpha of Starnes and Shaw. And again, apologies for the sound quality. We have an amazing show coming at you next week with some really, really fun guests and more news. Still looking for a co-host here in the Cleveland area. So if you are gay and you want to co-host with me, let me know. Drop me a line. Send that email on over to ken@theshowsogay.com, which, of course, is the same place you send an email. If you have any feedback, please don't send an email saying, "Hey, that interview was really hard to listen to." I know, but how great was their music? It's fun. Get out there, folks. I would really like you to go do some incredible, incredible things, change the world, make it safer for your LGBT brothers and sisters, and of course, raise up the voices of allies too, who are doing the yeoman's work to create equality all throughout the land. Let's all do it together. And of course, while you're getting out there, while you're creating change and creating equality, doing whatever it is that you can do to use your voice, hey, please remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
Someone to hold you. Does she like